I shall inform the emissary of Samos that you will be with him in moments, said Thurnok. Yes, I told him. He then left the room, putting the small Thalarian oil lamp on a shelf near the door. I looked down into the eyes of the girl, held helplessly in my arms.
What a slave you made me, she said.
You are a slave, I told her.
Yes, my master,
she said. You must grow accustomed to your slavery in all its facets, I told her.
Yes, my master,
she said. I withdrew from her then and sat on the edge of the couch, the furs about me.
A girl is grateful that she was touched by her master, she said.
I did not respond. A slave's gratitude is nothing, as are slaves.
It is early,
she whispered. Yes, I said.
It is very cold,
she said. Yes, I said. The coals in the brazier to the left of the great stone couch had burned out during the night. The room was damp and cold from the night air and from the chill from the courtyard and canals. The walls of heavy stone, too, saturated with the chill, humid air, would be cold and damp, and the defensive bar set in the narrow windows behind the buckled leather hangings. On my feet, I could feel the dampness and moisture on the tiles. I did not give her permission to draw back under the covers, nor was she so bold or foolish as to request that permission. I had been lenient with her this night. I had not slept her naked on the tiles beside the couch, with only a sheet for warmth, nor naked at the foot of the couch, with only a chain for comfort. I rose from the couch and went to a bronze basin of cold water at the side of the room. I squatted beside it and splashed the chilled water over my face and body.
What does it mean, my master? Asked the girl. That one from the house of Samos, first captain in Portcar, comes so early, so secretly, to the house of my master.
I do not know, I said. I toweled myself dry and turned to look upon her. She lay on her left elbow on the couch, the chain running from her collar to the surface of the couch, and thence to the slave ring fixed deeply in its base. Seeing my eyes upon her, she then knelt on the surface of the couch, kneeling back on her heels, spreading her knees, straightening her back, lifting her head, and putting her hands on her thighs. It is a common kneeling position for a female slave.
If you knew, you would not tell me, would you?
She asked. No, I said.
I am a slave,
she said. Yes, I said.
You had me well, she said, and as a slave.
It is fitting, I said.
Yes, master,
she said. I then returned to the couch and sat upon its edge. She then left the couch, that she might kneel on the tiles before me. I looked down at her. How beautiful are enslaved women. Perhaps, I said, you might speculate on what business brings the emissary of Samos of Portcar to my house this morning.
I, master?
She asked, frightened. Yes, I said. You once served Kurai, the others, the foes of priest-kings.
I told all that I knew, she exclaimed. I told all in the dungeons of Samos. I was terrified. I held back nothing. I was emptied of information.
You were then valueless, I said.
Except, perhaps, as I might please a man, as a slave,
she said. Yes, I smiled. Samos himself had issued the order of enslavement on her. In Ar, I had presented the document to her, and shortly thereafter, as it pleased me, implemented its provisions. She had once been Miss Alicia Nevins of Earth, an agent of Kurai on Gaur. Then, in Ar, a city from which once I had been banished, I had caught and enslaved her. In those compartments which had been her own in Ar, she had become my capture, and had been stripped and placed in my bonds. In her own compartments, then, at my leisure, I had branded her and locked on her fair throat the gleaming, inflexible circlet of bondage. Before the fall of darkness and my escape, I had had time, too, to pierce her ears, that the full degree of her degradation and slavery, in the Gorian way of thinking, be made most clear.